Let's go now, though, to the United States, where American Muslims have reacted angrily to remarks made by Republican presidential contenders Donald Trump and Ben Carson about Muslims. Donald Trump has called for surveillance of some mosques. He's calling for a database of Syrian refugees entering the country and says he'd support implementing mandatory registration for all Muslims in the United States. Here's what he had to say when asked about his proposal by reporters.
There should be a lot of systems beyond database. I mean, we should have a lot of systems. And today you can do it. But right now we have to have a border. We have to have strength. We have to have a wall. And we cannot let what's happening to this country happen.
But that's something your White House would like to implement.
Oh, I would certainly implement that. It would stop people from coming in illegally. What you have to do is good management procedures. And we can do that.
That's Donald Trump speaking to reporters about a possible Muslim database in the United States. Overnight, Donald Trump has also called for the return of waterboarding, which is a near-drowning interrogation technique. Earlier, another Republican presidential candidate, Ben Carson, said that preventing militants posing as refugees from entering the US was like handling rabid dogs.
We must balance safety against just being a humanitarian. You know, if there's a rabid dog running around in your neighborhood, you're probably not going to assume something good about that dog. Doesn't mean that you hate all dogs, but you're thinking, how do I protect my children? At the same time, I love dogs, and I'm going to call the Humane Society, and hopefully they can come take this dog away and create a safe environment once again.
That's Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson speaking a few days ago. Muslim leaders across the US have condemned these comments, saying the political climate against Muslims in America is now worse than it was after the 9/11 attacks. Zainab Chowdhury is spokeswoman and outreach manager of the Council on Islamic American Relations. She joins us from Maryland. Zainab Chowdhury, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
What was your reaction to the comments made by Donald Trump and Ben Carson over the last couple of days?
I think it would be the same as a reaction of anybody who values freedom and democracy in the Western world. I mean, it's just absolutely reckless and irresponsible for any individual, much less a politician who's running for public office, the highest public office in the country, much less the world, for him to make these kind of comments. And we know that there's a specific portion of the GOP base towards which these comments are intended to appeal towards. But the fact that we are now living in a times where it's become acceptable to throw any minority group under the bus to win votes and to earn or raise money for a political campaign is just absolutely disturbing.
Now, these comments were made post the Paris attacks, and to some degree that's heightened, well, to a large degree, that's heightened concerns in your country, in our country, most countries around the world. So it's into that kind of environment these fall, and a lot of people, I think, would think on the face of it, oh, well, maybe he's right, Donald Trump's right, maybe we should get a Muslim database of all Muslims having to register their identification. What's your argument? Give us your argument against that.
Well, first of all, I just want to express my organization's sincere condolences to the victims in the Paris terror attacks and in all terror attacks. These attacks are in no way, shape, or form justifiable. And the fact that the terrorists who are responsible for them claim to represent Islam is mind-boggling because their actions do not reflect the teachings of Islam. But at the same time, when we have elected officials who capitalize on these kind of tragedies, these kind of horrific attacks, to leverage more support by making these kind of unconscionable statements, I think it speaks to the politics of fear that we see, which is becoming more paramount within the election cycle. And unfortunately, post 9/11, we have seen that in the months leading up to a general election, that there is more rhetoric directed towards specifically the Muslim community, and it's become more acceptable to throw Muslims under the bus to generate support, especially within the right-wing base, to help raise funds. But at the same time, the kind of backlash that this brings upon the Muslim community and the kind of undermining of our constitutional values here in the United States, it speaks to the fact that anybody who's concerned about freedom and democracy should be concerned about this kind of rhetoric.
A lot of people responded immediately to this notion of, you know, registering identifications as by likening it to the way European Jews were treated by the Nazis. Jews had a J stamped in their passports, and that identification registration was seen as the, you know, the forerunner to the Holocaust.
It's very frightening. It's very chilling. And there's also been talk from some politicians of irresponsible talk from some politicians about internment camps, and it feels like in some respects we're going back, you know, we're going back in how we are addressing these kind of challenges that our society is facing. The talk about special IDs requiring minority groups, or specifically Muslims and Syrian refugees, to have specific IDs that identify them, and it definitely speaks to how the German Jews were treated during World War II when they came to the United States, and how they were discriminated against and corralled. It's been heartening to see the kind of support that we've seen from the Japanese American community and from the Jewish American community, who has spoken up vehemently to condemn this rhetoric. But it's still frightening to see that we have political leaders who are still determined to move forward, and especially Mr. Trump, who are determined to move forward and try to, you know, propel this kind of rhetoric.
In this climate, with Donald Trump making those comments, and the Ben Carson making the comment he did about, you know, it's like dogs. How do I protect my children from these rabid dogs? That kind of word. Has there been any increase that is noticeable yet, registered yet, of hate crimes, of incidents against mosques, against Muslims in the streets? Have you started registering any increase in that?
Absolutely. We have certainly noticed a spike in not only Islamophobia or Islamophobic sentiment, but also we've seen a rise in hate crimes and bias attacks and attacks on mosques, vandalism, or threats that have also been directed towards Muslims and Islamic institutions. And unfortunately, that's just a symptom of the kind of irresponsible commentary that our political leaders are making. We've noticed historically in the recent past that it's not so much the kind of terror attacks that take place, like what happened in Paris and in Beirut, that stimulate this kind of backlash, but more so the reckless, irresponsible comments from our elected officials and from politicians who are running for office. Just for example, post 9/11, we did not see this kind of backlash. I mean, the backlash that the American Muslim community saw was significant, but it was not this severe. And I think that part of the reason why is because at that time, President George Bush, he clearly stated that these actions of the 9/11 hijackers were not reflective of Islam, and he distanced.
Well, he went out of his way to do that, didn't he? He addressed a number of Islamic centers and mosques, you know, personally, and went out of his way to deliver that message.
Exactly. And it helped to minimize some of the backlash, and it helped to kind of curtail some of the more vitriolic response to these kind of attacks, these kind of terror attacks. Unfortunately, the vast majority of Muslims, we reject these kind of terror attacks, but we also have to suffer the backlash from the non-Muslim, our non-Muslim neighbors who don't understand how, you know, or how these attacks relate to Islam or Muslims, and they pay more attention.
But saying that, there is the issue too of, you know, and Donald Trump fed into it there when he said he'd implement this registry, it would stop people coming in illegally. People are concerned about that, and there is always an issue with border control and trying to keep out illegal entrants, and at times like this, that's heightened. And yet, when governments do move on the security front, it always gets linked, it always gets messed up, doesn't it, with notions of is this racist? Is this Islamophobia? You know,
we have to trust our government's vetting process. One of the impetus for this rhetoric is the fact that now there's a Syrian refugee debate, and there's a lot of talk about whether to allow Syrian refugees into our borders or not. The Migration Policy Institute put out a report that indicated post 9/11, there have been nearly 750,000 refugees that have been settled in the United States. And of these refugees, there have been, I think, about two or three of them who've been arrested for having some link to terror attacks or with the intention to commit acts of terror, and they were not Syrian nationals. And so the risk that comes from refugees is very low to none at all in terms of national security and public safety.
Okay.
So it's more of the politics of fear that have hyped up this kind of paranoia that refugees pose a risk. And now we see our presidential candidates who are kind of playing to that fear, and they're trying to trump up their base and trying to drum up support for their campaign and raise more money. And unfortunately, it's resulting in more backlash against the Muslim community,
yes,
and also widening that divide between Muslims and non-Muslims here in the West.
Zainab Chowdhury, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Zainab Chowdhury, she's a spokeswoman and outreach manager of the Council on Islamic American Relations.